Watch me not be in the shot for the whole video.
No, no, wait, let me see.
No, just make
now you're there, you're perfect, man.
Yeah,
don't
watch
worry.
Me sit down. When you sit down in it, when we look back at this, it's going
to
be.
My head's going
to
take off the whole
video. It is. You're fucking up my shit, man. All right, yo. You're in the camera now, yeah?
Yeah, for now.
He just wants some camera time, this guy, yeah? So I'm just going to give it to him on his own. This is how we're going to start, actually. Talk to the people. I'm just going to say here.
All right, what's good, people? Obviously, you know how we do it. Kilimanjaro podcast. Back at it again. Yeah. And you know, you wonder where Mazzani is. Mazzani's in Kilimanjaro.
Incognito mode.
Yeah, incognito mode. Come on.
Climbing the mountain.
He's climbing the mountain. And all that. And you know how it is, obviously. Yeah. We've got a guest come back. You've seen her before.
Seen her before.
Innit? Come on.
In the shot.
Yeah, okay.
The audio
guy. Am I
in the shot?
No, in the shot. In the middle of the shot as well. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
We didn't used to do that before, innit? Used to be more ceiling than now.
Innit? Nah, we're too much ceiling, man.
Too much ceiling.
But yeah, obviously, listen, we got Miss Omi Lakai in the building.
Hello.
Yes. How are you doing?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I'm good.
It's been a while.
It's been almost a year, I swear.
More than a year, I think.
I told you July, innit?
July.
Yeah.
Shit. Yeah.
I've missed you guys so much, and I'm so delighted to be here.
She's one of them ones who were like present for no reason. Let me just settle the inconveniences and wait for 10 minutes for these fuckers.
We don't. I can't even lie. We don't. You don't. Innit?
Yeah.
Guys, my hands are still freezing, but I got a fresh set just for them. So.
Yo, she's literally doing this on purpose, let me sit down, because like you guys are like, what the fuck is going on? Some guy in the corner is talking. So yeah, man, it's been a while. What are you saying? What's going on?
I've been good. Lots of changes, I would say.
What's been changing? Like Tupac.
Work.
Tupac had beat. Tupac Cold Dusty. Shout out. Come on.
Buy two, get two free.
Oh, shit. I didn't know you were doing that deal.
Yeah, come on.
What's the website?
Obviously, continue.
Yeah, just finish the website, Tig.
Listen. If they know, they know, innit?
She knows the plug, Tig, bro.
If they know, man.
Yeah, if they know, they know.
Yeah, so anyways.
Yes, there you go. You picked up the pieces.
Interrupt or not.
Sorry, no, it's cool.
I think work's the main thing that changed for me. I think the last I spoke to you guys was when I was at Metro Bank.
Yeah.
So I've got a crazy story to tell you guys.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
She's prepared.
It is.
Yeah, I've got a crazy story to tell you guys. So, guys, listen up. This is the most maddest story you'll ever see.
Okay.
So, I got assaulted.
Assaulted.
At Metro.
Every story, I swear, it's either someone spitting on you, or someone shining you, or just everything is some extreme.
Yeah, man.
Honestly,
I'm just glad it wasn't a combined story with the spitting and the thing. But, like, carry on.
Yeah, so, number one, it was toxic to work out. It was just very, like, micromanaged. Even when I was, like, back from my lunch break, a minute late, they would have a discussion with you. They'd be like, why are you a minute late? So, on your case, and I was like, nah. I'm a human being, like, come on, sometimes, like, you need to, you know, wrap up and then go. But, yeah, so micromanagement, really sure. Very, very understaffed, myself especially. They didn't pay well either, compared to, like, other banks.
Yeah.
But I finessed and got all of the training, all of my qualifications. Stayed there for, like, a year.
And
I was like, okay.
Did your time.
I did my time. And then I was like, yeah, no, this is it. I got a cut. So bad micromanagement, understaffed, underpaid, and then a customer, it was right outside the store actually, so
listening,
I was going into work, right?
Yeah.
Now another colleague of mine, she was a hijabi, so she was like Pakistani.
Yeah, mashallah and that. Yeah.
Clearly Muslim. So we were walking and then this woman out of nowhere, she was a Metrobank customer that we had served the previous day. So she's walking now up to me and my colleague and she goes, do you have any change? But she was like on the street sort of thing. And I was looking down on my phone trying to sort out something and I say, no, sorry. And the next thing you know, I've got a punch like right to my face. Guys, I got punched in the face, right? My lip was all bust up.
Yeah.
I was peak, like my head was like discombobbled for a second. I was just like, yo, what?
And you were just on your phone?
I was just on my phone and I look up with like the force and it was cold as well. So the wind was like, oh, it hurt so much.
Yeah. They've been watching too many KSI fights, man. That's what's been happening.
That's mad though.
Yeah.
So who punched you? Wait, we don't even know.
It was a customer.
Was it the hijabi one?
No, that's the colleague.
Oh, that's the colleague. Okay, yeah.
And then she punched me and she goes, "You fucking packing."
Yeah.
And like I was like, "Whoa, what the hell? Like, where the fuck did this come from?" Like, clearly a racial attack.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere, and then she had a bottle in her hand. So my colleague was just like, "Thank God she didn't smash the bottle on your head. Yeah. And just punched you." And I'm thinking, "Yeah, but I still got punched. Like, hello."
But why did you get punched though?
I think she was just like off her head. Like, I think she was on drugs.
Yeah.
That's so as soon as I
was it one of the nip bags that are on the corner that come in to try and like finesse community. Something?
Yeah.
Oh, they're part that's of them guys. The shout out knitty community, man.
All the knitties out there.
Yeah, man. I don't even like give no money to no one anymore, man. Like I'll literally talk to them and be like, okay, do you want a bottle of water? If they don't want a bottle of water, they're lying. Mm. It's cap. You're not on the streets.
Or any food or anything.
If you say no to water, like, you're capping, bro.
Ever since then, I've just got PTSD. I just like cross the road if I see a homeless
man. Yeah, or a metro bike. Yeah, you see a metro bag, and there's bears as well. They're popping up everywhere. Yeah, whenever that happens, you get scared. You're like, "Fuck!" Another one in Rickman's work. No, I thought this was a metro bag free area.
Did you swing back or anything, or was it just like?
So I went back because I'm very feisty. So I was like, "You fucking metro bag."
But you didn't like physically go back.
The fucking police.
Because you're allowed.
I wasn't allowed because technically she was in. A customer.
Oh, you were working. Okay. So and the micromanagement plays into that. Yeah.
I didn't want to lose my job. Yeah. So I was just like, I went back to fight her, and then my colleague was just like pulling me. She's like, "No, it's not worth it." Blah blah blah.
You're like, "Hold me back, hold me back."
Hold me back.
Oh man, but the micromanaging is crazy, isn't it? Because I feel like that's what companies are told to do. They're told to like scare you in certain ways so that you basically stay in your own lane, or stay in the lane that they want you to stay in.
It's just like. They're the, you know, we're the puppets and they control it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the thing is, like, it would work if it was more subtle. And it works in companies that do it in a subtle way.
Yeah.
You know, companies that, like, throw a Christmas party, for example, so that everyone can enjoy themselves. That's a subtle way of micromanaging.
Mm.
Or, like, managing, like, or making them feel good or making them feel validated for the next year kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, we do all of these trophies so that people have their own, like, fucking... What's it called? Participation trophies.
Yeah.
And all
and then
of that.
Employee of the month.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like stuff like that. Or like if someone gives you a gold star when you're an adult, like what are you doing? You know what I mean?
Like,
primary school, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, man. But that's what they do for teachers and stuff like that.
Well, give them.
My mom's a teacher, isn't it?
What?
So she got like golden stars and that in her.
But she, as in like,
last
she
company.
Gives it to the kids.
Both, vice versa.
Oh, wow.
So, I never knew.
So that's if you're like the best teacher of the month, you get like a gold star like
so
certificate
in a way
or something.
They make you compete with other people.
Yeah. Mm.
Wow. So
and that's just another way of controlling, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And it's so crazy. Do you guys ever notice? There's only Christmas parties, but there's no like Eid parties or there's no like Diwali parties.
Yeah.
Christmas party essentially, it's what it's for a religion, no?
Yeah.
It's Christ.
Yeah.
So and then they talk about diversity.
Yeah.
And, like EDI and stuff, but it's like okay, how about like you know, like. Awareness of other religions and stuff.
Yeah.
But no, it's always a Christmas party. It's never anything else. So it's just something notable.
Yeah, and the D&I society in itself is a bit like fucked anyways, right?
Mm.
Like, okay, like we could talk about so much there. We could talk about how Christmas is like a pagan thing in reality and it's not really on the right date, right? According
Christmas,
to the scriptures and that.
The thing about Christmas.
It's
anyway,
a holiday,
like,
yeah. And it's
it,
a UK
it's,
holiday.
It's pretty
so.
Much, yeah, it's a UK, pretty much the thing about Christmas, let's be real, innit? Like most people that celebrate Christmas don't like, they don't do it for the religious reasons.
Yeah,
it's
just for like the family, the gifts. And
yeah, yeah.
It's just straight away now, especially with like all of this gift giving and things like that. Like the whole point was to celebrate the birth of Christ, but now it's completely so far off it.
Yeah, it's about the food. I mean, I do like the family element and I do take advantage with my own family, but like, you know, it's just the basic situation to get fucked up before New Year's Eve where you're going to get more fucked up, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it is nice to have though in companies though.
Yeah,
it
no,
does make you feel validated.
Yeah,
I understand why they do it.
Yeah.
But you know, like, really and truly, that it is like a system that's controlling us.
Yeah.
And it bodes well for you to stay there longer. Because at the end of the day, you're limiting your salary for their benefit.
Yeah, 100%.
You know?
And it's actually a requirement for from the companies that you have to attend their Christmas party.
Yeah,
otherwise
yeah.
It's like,
that's a requirement.
Wait, you have to they have to attend. You have to attend the Christmas party.
Yeah, for some companies, it's actually a requirement. They have.
Yeah, that's
attend.
Stupid, man.
That's
yeah.
mad.
Are you for like, go have fun now.
Come,
go
have fun.
Imagine someone said,
party with us. Party
imagine
with
your
us.
Mom came into your room and said, "Go have fun now." That's what's happening, man.
that's a bit techie still.
Yeah, man. So what? You had to move away from that shit.
Yeah, so essentially what happened then, I just didn't feel safe. I didn't feel respected.
Yeah.
I was just constantly so overworked as well. Because the thing with Metro is that they don't have constant shifts. Mm-hmm. So one day you'll start at 7:45.
Yeah.
The next day you'll start at 10. And then the next day you'll start at 7:45. So in terms of you have no sleep pattern, mm-hmm. you have no life,
mm-hmm.
you work 6 days a week.
Yeah.
You work weekends. And you work bank holidays.
Yeah.
As a bank, you work bank holidays. So
yeah.
I was just like, no, what the fuck is this shit?
That's
yeah, it's like, very convenient though. I can't lie, Metro Bank is lit.
Man.
For a customer, yeah.
If you're a customer,
it's lit.
Yeah.
They're always open, they're always there for you. But as a colleague, oh my god, no, that's just slavery. Like, don't do it.
That's normally the case, isn't it? If it's more convenient for the customer.
Please don't.
Yeah.
Hopefully you're having a better experience than me. I'm just talking for myself.
And there's a lot of graduates who kind of like fall into that kind of shit though.
That's what I
like
did.
Being like a corporate track. Banker kind of thing. It's just like straight away.
Yeah.
But you did like maths and stuff like that, so it kind of makes sense. But when did you find out that it was like the wrong thing for you?
I think I knew really early on, but then for me I quite enjoyed
it. Was the qualifications
like,
as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
and you enjoyed
yeah. and the qualifications and I enjoyed you know. For me, it was like, I'm doing something that I've always wanted to do. Like, from uni, I always wanted to go into banking.
Yeah.
And I always wanted to explore that field. So I thought, like, I made myself believe this is what I want. But then when I actually got there, and it was a complete eye-opener, and I thought, no, like, I want to be treated better. I want to have a better quality of life. And, you know, be able to, like, manage, like, family time, personal time, and work as well.
Yeah.
Because it was just, like, eat, sleep, work, repeat. And every single day, you were just, like, burnt out. So, yeah, I felt like, okay, I need to change. Didn't feel safe there at all after I got assaulted. So I thought, yeah, no, okay.
Yeah, that's a mad one still.
Mm-hmm. It's always me that gets assaulted as well.
Yeah, and you had the story from, like, the YouTube days and that, innit? Where, like, you were getting comments and stuff about this address or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I guess it kind of, like, links back to that where you're like, okay, this is, like, the last straw.
Yeah.
And is that probably why you, like, deleted your YouTube videos and stuff?
Yeah, I feel as if I didn't feel safe within the YouTube platform as well because like there was a lot of support. Don't get me wrong, like lots of people like loved my videos.
Yeah, bare support, like, man. Come on,
watch my content, even
it's a big platform, you know. Don Laka, man. The Mehdi. Oh shit, have you seen the Mehdi?
Not that. It was like 500 subscribers, but it was still a nice little platform.
Nothing wrong with 500 subscribers.
Nothing wrong with 500 subscribers.
Mm-hmm. It's still more than this podcast.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like, you know, I wasn't in like my million sort of thing.
Yeah.
But as well as positivity, I started to get a lot of hate, a lot of like death threats, people, you know, like leaking my address, people using my pictures. Because my profile was a public profile on Instagram, people used to use my pictures and then sort of really just sexualize them. Post it on Twitter. And I just thought, do you know what? In a way, I'm exposing myself and I'm exposing myself to be a victim of their sort of, you know, hatred. So
at the end of the day, no one wants to come across like a victim, right?
Yeah. It was just more scary that people out there, you know, want to hurt you and say nasty stuff about you when you've done nothing to them or you've not offended them, you don't even know who the fuck they are, sort of thing. And at the end of the day, my safety and like my sort of peace of mind outweighed, you know, my love for YouTube. And another thing as well, with YouTube, I felt as if I gave a lot. So with editing and stuff, of course, it takes like 8 hours to edit something. Like thumbnail, you know, music that's not copyrighted. Like, that's a mission in itself to find.
Yeah, no, she's good. Yeah.
Is it okay?
Yeah.
So I felt as if I put in a lot, but I didn't get enough in return.
Yeah.
And for me, I kind of got into this space where I used to think, okay, does it add value to my life?
Yeah.
If you don't add value to my life, then I don't want to continue that avenue. So then I just sort of completely stopped. I got really busy as well. And me not spending that amount of time on YouTube and getting nothing in return apart from great video or or threats or hatred.
Yeah, that's the return on investment. And that's looking a bit shady, you get me? It's not looking equal.
I wasn't getting anything much in return apart from like a like or something.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, I don't need to spend hours and hours of my life like doing YouTube, doing a video, and then get nothing in return. So then I started doing other things.
Yeah, because you were doing like vlog type shit, right?
Yeah.
Like day in the life.
Vlogs, challenges.
Yeah.
And all that.
Vlogs,
yeah.
Challenges, like
eating stuff here and there, food blogging kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know. Just anything, you know.
I know you low-key, you want to become a food blogger, I swear down.
Me, no, it's just like whatever pops, to be honest, man. Like, I'm just putting content out there, I hope it's something sticks, you know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, like, I want these conversations to be heard. If I want these conversations to be heard, I kind of have to, like, do everything, you know?
You need to build up your platform as well.
Yeah, in, like, some way. But I guess with the whole YouTube stuff, it's kind of like the sexualized Instagram accounts and then all of this attached to it, and then the hatred and stuff like that. Essentially, guys like stalking you, basically, right?
Yeah, it's really creepy.
It's like the opposite image of what you built up for yourself, isn't it?
100%.
And if you were to speak up on it, like anyone would in order to defend themselves, you would come across as a victim. So it's those two elements that led up to why you actually like said fuck this kind of thing.
There's, you know, nothing was really being there for me in return anyways.
So you made yourself busy with
other things. So I started getting into learning how to code.
That's
something I really want to do. And right now, if we think about it, there's a lot of sort of development towards coding, learning things like Python, Java, etc. So and there's, the platform is crazy because there's so many free courses and internships and things, like even on Google, just beginner level courses that you can do. And at least you're getting somewhere, or at least you're achieving a qualification at the end of it. So I've been having a look at that, and then I moved jobs as well. So that was quite drastic, and that was quite heavy as well. So I moved into recruitment, and then I recruit for like property and surveying. So I cover like a wide variety of things. So it would cover from like valuation surveyors to asset managers, estate managers, like property managers, and then I'll do like other niche roles as well. So like business development managers, etc. So it was so occupying of my time that I didn't really, you know, have the time to miss my old life in a sense.
Yeah.
Like I don't miss it.
Well, your old life was basically you working to the brim, innit?
Yeah.
So you can't really miss that, do you know what I mean? Like that aspect of it.
I guess so. And I think with COVID as well, I had more time to, you know, put out content, etc. Like, do I miss YouTube?
Yeah, we had nothing to lose, right? And that time, but like, even right now, like us, like editing the stuff like that, if it was too much, or if we didn't find a way to like make it maintainable, like for CJ, he's a little bit more flexible, right? Because he's not tied down to that kind of like 9-to-5 fixture. So what he's doing is he's like, okay, I'm not going to film some episodes, but I'm going to film like others that I'm interested in. Like this one. That's what I came through right now. You get it? Like, he's here.
If he didn't come.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah. No, you would have been in for. You would have been in for a madness, bro. I can't lie.
We made a song together.
I know. Yeah. I know, innit?
No, you would have just been grilled more by me. I can't lie.
Innit? Check out that song. It's on Omi's channel.
It's on my channel. It's privatized now, but I put it back up now.
Yeah, why did we do that shit, man?
I don't know what kind of lyrics I was making up.
Yeah, it was fun. It was just,
At the end of the day, we made like a beat, lyrics, and like produced the whole thing.
Yeah, the beat was impressive. The beat was the impressive part, innit?
Like, I mean,
and you, I mean, your vocals were decent as well, I can't lie. Yeah. That's about all you can say about the song, to be honest.
I don't know what the fuck you were spitting though. You know what it was?
You know what it was? I had lyrics on my phone and then I tried to freestyle on top of the lyrics, so it kind of got crossed. You get me? But you'll see, we're actually doing a cypher soon, innit? So we're going to bring like other rappers and stuff who we've already had on. I'm not going to spit in it, but like if you guys say, then I might do that.
Yeah, you might as well.
I might do that. Bring them on. We'll see. We'll test the skills for no reason, right? Because I'm not even doing it professionally. But yeah, because CJ has like found a way to make it work, it's like, okay, now we still have nothing to lose, right? Mm. We put like pillars in place. And then like even for us, even for me, we're now paying someone to do some of the edits and stuff like that. Because the clips have to be way more engaging. People have no attention span. If you've got this far, you do have an attention span. Congratulations, subscribe now, innit? Because you're in for more videos like this.
Please, we're desperate. We need
to subscribe. We're desperate, man. This is our only thing. This is all we got going on. Nothing else. But yeah, man.
It's interesting you said you're doing coding.
Well, I want to, like, I'm learning how to code. So I'm not, like, obviously a tech developer, or I can't make apps or anything like that, but It's good in a way, because that's where, you know, the industry and the market is going. And I feel like with skills and education, no one can take that away from you.
Yeah.
tangible things people could take away from you, like your job or, you know, whatever. But skills that you've learned, education, that's with you for life.
Yeah.
So it's just always good to have, I would say, have something to fall back on, you know, and how the industry is going. There's much more opportunity if you get into coding. There's much more sort of flexibility as well. So that's something I definitely want to do and I'm looking into doing.
It's mad, yeah, definitely, isn't it? Because, what's it, coding, copywriting, what are those?
Editing as well.
Editing, marketing as well.
Yeah, those type of skills, isn't it? Like, they can get you far when you don't know what you're doing, innit?
Yeah, man. No, that's the way to go, man. Because, yeah, it's tangible. It's something you can, like, lean on, right? Like, it's the same thing with the beats, or it's the same thing, like, if... Yeah, even, like, lawyers and stuff like that. Like, the pinnacle of the Asian households and that. Like, it is a skill that you can, like, then monetize to make your own thing happen where you're not micromanaged. Like, Ahmed Yacoub, which is going to come on season 2, first episode. So, yeah, like, there's a lot of things you could do with coding. And, like, I'm in, I guess, a job right now where if I knew coding, I would get paid, like, double what I'm paid now.
Exactly.
Basically. So it's one of those things that it's up and coming. It might be automated soon. So there might be more that we can do, play around with different languages. Mm. There's, like, so much AI shit coming. If you put yourself in that position already where you know more than most people, then you're at an advantage, right?
Exactly.
But yeah, did you seek out for the new job? How did it go? Because you were obviously struggling in the job, right? Yeah. But you kind of like left the people hanging there, you know what I mean? So
no, so when I left, I really pissed off because like I covered like a lot of shit, not just like personal banking, but I did business banking as well. So
what's the difference? Explain that.
Personal banking is more sort of like ISA accounts, you know, fraud cases, scam, credit cards, loans, mortgages, joint accounts, single accounts. Whatever it ranges, that's all personal. And then business was more sort of course looking through like the Experian report, opening up business accounts for them, like making sure like their correspondence, etc., all of that stuff is all in line. And that was more of a longer process. And then what Metro does is with
you nearly died. Shit. Let's take a second, man. Shit. Fuck.
I need a refill.
You need a Diet Coke in it, right?
No, it's okay. So business banking is just more sort of helping, you know, out within the communities, and like people would come in and you would obviously open up their business account. So that would take a huge chunk of your time. So when I left, not only did they lose somebody who did personal banking, but someone who could also do the business banking side of it. It was a big loss for them when I left, but
They lost the key worker basically.
I wasn't even concerned about securing my next job. It got so toxic to the point where I just thought, do you know what? Even if I don't find something,
you need to take your life back.
I just have to leave. I just had to leave from there. Like, I had to get out of there. So I left, and then I think I was just, I was unemployed for two months, I would say. But then I say unemployed, but I was still doing henna on the side. So I still had my business and stuff going on. So I wasn't like broke, or I had enough savings to like, you know, be self-sufficient,
maintain yourself.
And I did a few qualifications when I was unemployed, like that gap. So I did a qualification to become like a civil servant and work for the government. Why are you laughing?
Shout out to the government, man.
I swear down, you always you do these random courses. I swear down, like
she's on like Udemy and that, isn't it? She's like, what course can I do now? I have a spare 5 minutes. What can I do now?
Like, what can I do? Just answer myself. And I've always had...
Because that's how you've been, right? Like, you've always done a lot of things at once, right? So you had this job, but then on top of that, you were doing henna and modeling at the same time, YouTube. Right? And YouTube, and then helping your brother fix cars and that, right? So you're basically one of those people who, like, require to be busy. Yeah. In order to feel satisfied.
Exactly.
Right?
If I stay at home, I don't know what it is, but I feel so guilty.
If I'm
doing nothing with my time, in my head I'm just thinking, Umi, like, what the hell? You could be using this. You could be productive, blah, blah, blah.
What makes you like that?
I'm not sure, you know. Like, I've always just been, like, a workaholic. I would say coming from, like, a middle-class family as well, like, nothing was handed to me in, like, a silver spoon or anything. So everything I have now is, like, all my hard earned money and like all my hard work sort of thing. So like my parents, they didn't graduate, like they didn't even go to uni sort of thing. So from like my family, my brother and myself were like the first graduates, and I think that hunger to make a name for yourself and that hunger to sort of be self-sufficient and not depend on your parents who are already struggling to support you was like the biggest thing for me. So I've always been like that. I've always been, what's next? I'll be here now, but I'm thinking about 2 months, a year, 2 years down the line, like what's next for me. I'm always just constantly worried about, you know, the next thing, what can I do to improve myself, better myself. And I see the world as just like countless opportunities. Like, opportunities are there, you just have to go and seek it. And there's so many free shit as well, you don't even have to pay. Like, as soon as you've got access to the internet, as I was mentioning before, like courses, you can teach yourself a lot from YouTube videos as well. So I just think it's a whole pool of opportunities, you just have to go and grab it. But you need to have that hunger and you need to have that drive, and for me, I've always been that type of person, but I'm getting more sort of used to just being at home and at least having one day to myself where it's just like, you know what, reset, relax. But I always have that one sort of family day. Within like the 7 days of the week, one day is always a family day, and I make sure I go see like my niece, my nephew,
the day of rest, isn't it?
The day of rest. But even then, it's like, reading some scriptures, like, and that.
Christmas got going a little bit.
X, Y, and Z today.
But like, I don't agree with you in the sense that you've always been that person. I feel like you kind of have to construct that persona, right? So, is your brother older than you?
Yeah.
All right. So, do you feel like he played a big part in that? Because he was in the same situation as you, where like, you know, your family were like sufficient, but you had to kind of work for yourself to kind of like do your other stuff, or like have other experiences, or like be a kid like everyone else, basically, right? That's essentially where you're coming from, and we relate to that, obviously. But yeah, do you feel like he kind of pushed you in that direction, or do you feel like the talks that you guys had were kind of consisting of that?
I don't think he pushed me, because he's never really, you know, told me to do anything or me like do this or do that. But I feel as if I,
because
he's
kind of done the same thing, right? Like, he was doing it with his car stuff.
Exactly. So I used him as a role model. So without him even having to tell me, you know, to make the most of your opportunities and make the most of whatever you've got, like with me just seeing like how hard he works, and like from a young age he always took like his passion for cars to then try and flip cars and like buy and sell and like do, you know, being a mechanic, not a mechanic per se, but like, you know, just fixing, doing minor servicing and stuff like that. So
yeah, becoming a professional in that regard.
Exactly. Just really sort of, I would say, what's the word, you know, when you sort of like become an expert within your field, like making sure that you've learned every single thing. So for me, like his drive and like his passion towards things like that, I always thought, okay, so if he can know, why can't I?
Yeah, it relates to your thing about like finding things that are tangible and then using it to leverage stuff, right?
Yeah, 100%.
You know, because it's not always necessarily work that brings in money. It's also the leverage that comes with your experience that you can then use to like push a little bit in some regards, and then like lean back because someone else has like an opportunity for you, kind of thing. So like, use that as an example, a role model kind of thing. But you kind of always knew to like put your head down and stuff, because you obviously came from a different country, and then you were like, you know, you didn't really have that language pattern yet, so you kind of like didn't have that many like maybe friends when you were younger, kind of thing.
100%.
So you were kind of focused in other regards. So do you feel like that also kind of lent itself to your, like, I need to move forward kind of thing because life's going to get better kind of thing?
Yeah, I would say so in many ways. When I was growing up as well, as a kid, I wasn't too fussed on having friends. And it's weird because I always saw people as your temporary in my life. And there's only a certain, like, less than five people I would say that I don't see as temporary, but every single person that I meet, I always think you're just very temporary in my life, and like you're here for your purpose. And then once that purpose is done, once we have no sort of, you know, means to, in a way, I think of everything as a very transactional thing, as in, what can I learn from you? Or what sort of value do you add into my life?
Yeah, what's the exchange?
If you don't add
transaction happening here regardless.
100%. And people that don't add value, I'm very quick to sort of cut them off. And that's why I would say, me not having that many friends. I had a couple of few friends who sort of, as I grew up, sort of, you know, everyone sort of drifted away or shit happened or whatnot. I don't speak to a lot of people, but just having that sort of mentality of everybody's temporary in my life always made me sort of head down. What are my goals? What do I want to do? I never really cared about fitting in to anything.
Because a lot of people, they are more like, oh, you're my friend. This is our journey. Let's go through it together kind of thing.
Yeah.
And you're like,
no,
this is your journey with me.
Yeah.
And you enjoy it for as long as you feel like you should stick around.
Yeah.
And if you do something that goes against the line that I've created, wherever that line is, then I'm cutting you off kind of thing.
Exactly. That's exactly how it is.
Okay, cool. So the benefit of that mindset is that you can move forward and seek out these opportunities and get the referral code to a different company quickly, you know what I mean? That's the benefit, right? And then, like, fixate yourself on having these tangible things because you've had a role model, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But the drawback is, what would you say the drawbacks of that is?
I would say it makes me very sort of heartless and very sort of unattached to a lot of things. Mm. Even though I'm such, like, I'm so sensitive as an individual. Like, I feel things on, like, a crazy deep level. But I'm very sensitive. However, I'm still very, like, I would say, you know when people have a hard shell?
Sensitive.
I'm very sensitive, yeah. In some aspects. I'm very, very sensitive in some aspects. Like, once I let someone...
Oh, they stole the cap.
No, literally. Once I let somebody, you know, like... Fuck off!
Yeah. It's my talking time.
I would say I'm very sensitive. Yeah. And a lot of people, like yourselves, get really surprised when I say that. Mm. But that's because I don't let you show that I'm sensitive.
No, it's a shell. It's a shell.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. I have a very, very sort of, like, strong shell. And it's, like, unless I feel like somebody is actually worth me sort of prioritizing them, then once that someone becomes, like, a very key, you know, individual in my life, like, let's say, like, my niece, for example, then I would put them before myself. Whereas if it's not somebody that I value, I'll always put myself before anyone else. Because at the end of the day, I always see as, how am I benefiting? What am I going to do?
What am I doing here?
Like, yeah, what am I doing here?
Why am I in Wembley in a podcast studio right now? What has my life come to? I'm making bread. Why am I here? I could be doing a course right now. Udemy's open.
It is.
The internet, we have access to it. Come on. Yeah, man, nice.
It's all about finding that balance, isn't it?
Mm.
Like, you don't want to be too, you're not too sensitive where you're like a pushover. And like, people are just manipulating you and all that.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, you don't want to be too cold where you're just like...
Where you have distant. No one. Yeah. So it's very hard
That's what I don't understand, right? That's the disconnect for me. It's like, you didn't have that many friends before. So why are you so sensitive? Wouldn't that make you more cold?
No, so it's not all just about friends. I feel like with me, like within my family and stuff, like, and just things around me, I dealt with like a lot of loss, a lot of, from a young age, I dealt with, you know, like my uncles, etc., like passing away from cancer and stuff. So with me, from a young age, I always saw, you know, like, at the end of the day, people are only with you until it's their time.
Yeah.
And their destiny will take them wherever they need to be at their end goal. But that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you have to cling on to people and that you have to, like, depend on them. I hate depending on anyone because what do I do when you're not there? Then I'm fucked. So I would never depend on anyone. And that's what I would say. Like, even though the friends bit was... I've always been sort of like closed off, and like a lot of people know me and a lot of people know who I am, and like I'll say hi to everybody. Like,
because you're social, but you're still like,
yeah, very social.
You keep your cards close to your chest until they are one of the people who you prioritize.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this year I've learned that more so. But let me tell you about the detriment of that, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So I've recently come across this fucking phenomenon, right? That like all of these friends are really temporary. At the end of the day, like most people, probably 90% are temporary as fuck, right?
Definitely.
Like they'll come in, they'll go, you know, they'll just like chop and change. You know, like that's how it would work, right?
True.
But as he said, like you become a bit of a pushover, you kind of like put your goals in the backseat because you're compromising. Because let's be real, all of the friendships that you do engage in on a personal level, it comes with that risk, it comes with that drawback of compromise. Because even in a relationship sense, whenever you're in a relationship, you're compromising a lot in order to maintain that. Because like emotions are high and every little thing like a fucking Instagram follow gets in the way of the fucking relationship.
Whoa, what kind of
Do you know what I mean? And I'm not even talking about my relationship.
Personal story. Story
time. No. Maybe not an Instagram message. Maybe like a, you know, a WhatsApp from an old person, whatever. That might come into play, right? But yeah, because I just learned about this and because I'm taking in this information, I've kind of become, maybe in the last year and a half, less responsive on message because I'm like, you know, I need to put my goals forward, right? And I'm not going out as much because, like, that's how my friends kind of, like, chill out, right? Like, we just go club, blah, blah, blah. I'm trying to do that less because, one, like, it's haram, right? And two, it's, like, I'm putting myself in an area where I'm not trying to focus on anymore. Like, I'm not trying to focus on just, like, pulling all the time, you know what I mean? Like, that's not something that's going to give me long-term satisfaction. Like, she's thinking about, and obviously someone in her position who thinks 2 months, 2 years ahead, is not going to be focused on stuff like that, right? Yeah. So that's why you carved out of that really quickly and you made yourself busy.
Yeah.
But it makes you colder when you think like that. And some of my even close friends have told me recently that, oh, you never message me anymore. And you know when it gets to that point where, like, if someone's not really responding to you, you stop messaging them because, like you said, you get cold, you cut off. Like, okay, you're not giving me the attention that I feel like is necessary to keep this at least holding over, then you cut it off.
Yeah.
And my friends have literally come to me and told me, listen, if you don't message me back, or if you don't call me back, you're gone at the end of the day. If you don't pick up my call, I'm gone. And like, I'm here thinking, oh, I've finally taken the red pill. I finally understood the truth, you get me? I know what's good for me. And now these people are trying to pull me back in. But at the end of the day, I've made these relationships happen.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've got these people to a point where it's like, you know, we can now lean on each other for things. And that's good and beneficial, especially when we all make it in this hypothetical thing. So I feel like I prioritize, like, these relationships more because obviously, like, I've made them now, right? But yeah, you're right as well in the sense that, like, you have to put your goals forward. And maybe later on in life, you might have, like, all of these, like, homies who are just hanging around because you've also thought about your karma in these relationships, right? Because even with temporary people, you still treat them with respect.
Yeah, of course. But you know? The thing is, like, you know how your friends were saying, oh, you don't message me anymore, like, you're gone or something. I would never let my friends have that power. Like, I'm that kind of person who is like, how do you feel so entitled to my time? Like, that's an entitlement thing, because it's like, if I'm not responding, I'm doing something. It's not that I don't value the friendship. And it's like, deep down, like, I make sure I'm still in touch with them. Like, I give them a call. I see them. Like, I'm very social. So I'll see them at least, like, once in, like, 2 weeks or something. Mm. Or once in a month. Yeah. So if one of my friends was like to me, oh, I don't hear from you. Like, I'm going to cut you off, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I would say, please go ahead. Because at the end of the day, I'm not really losing somebody who, you know, understands what my goals are. And, like, what my sort of ambitions are. And if you're not here to, like, push your friends and support them, if you feel like, oh, yeah, you're not giving me time, you're not giving me attention, blah, blah, blah. But it's just, like, grow up.
I said attention like they're like some bitches or something. Let me just clarify that my homies are good, are really good to me at the end of the day. And I've gone to the point where I've, like, flipped over to the dark side kind of thing. And if they're a friend who was getting a lot of my attention, seeing me a lot, and then, like, drastically changing to, like, barely a call or, like, barely seeing me a month, then I can understand that, especially if we hung out every single day. Okay. You know what I mean? So there's like one specific friend that I'm talking about.
Okay.
And I'm talking about the level of friendship to which they are basically my family kind of thing.
Okay, yeah, that's different.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So it was, I was in the wrong, but it's good to have that discussion. So, you know, that engagement.
It's just a viewpoint.
That engagement is good. No, it's a good viewpoint to have because people think about both sides at different times in their life.
Yeah.
And realistically, it's probably somewhere in the middle, right? Where you're right 100%, we do have to prioritize, like, maybe even 3 or 4 friends, maybe less, you know, because those are the people who don't see the relationship as a transaction. And for her, the barrier to get to a non-transactional relationship is so much higher.
Yeah, of
course. You know, unless it's benefiting. So let's talk about that. Like,
no, I feel like I've got friends who, you know, I'll do anything for, and, like, they're like my family now, you know. So those type of people, like, if they were to sort of, hit me up and be like, hey, I haven't seen you in a while, I will prioritize and I will, like, you know, make time for them.
Yeah, I've just started doing that again.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
It's essential to, like, make time for the people that mean a lot to you, because at the end of the day, you have to show them with your actions.
Yeah, exactly. You, yeah.
Not just, like, constant words of affirmation and then that's like, what's your words at the end of the day?
Yeah.
If there's no action, it's not going to hold any value.
That's the thing. That's the thing. I pushed myself out on Friday because of that very thing. I was like, listen, I'm not even a clubbing guy anymore, but I'm a girl.
What am
I for? I'm a girl. I am good at existing in that scenario, but I shouldn't for my own, you know.
Self, yeah.
Yeah, for my own growth in life, any kind of thing. Probably not going to bag a Muslim wife if I do shit like that, you know what I mean? Probably not the kind of one that I'm looking for, you know what I mean?
No.
But yeah, man, no, it's interesting, man. They are transactions. We had a video about this, right?
Yeah, we probably did, yeah.
Yeah, what do you think about this transactional relationship thing?
No, it definitely is. It's all about, as you said, time, isn't it? Because that's technically the most important currency, your time. So you got, if you're going to... You're basically investing.
It's an investment.
Yeah, it's an investment when you're hanging around with someone. So you got to make sure that the people you're hanging around with are actually worth the time, innit?
100%.
So, like, if you're just going, if you're someone with, like, let's say you've got loads of friends and all that. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, you've got a lot of friends, but what are... I don't want to sound like a dick, but, like, what kind of value... What value do they have, innit? Like, what point is their value?
How I see it,
Yeah, it's like, what value do they have? And when you do hang around them, is it worth your time? Are you just wasting time? Could you have done something productive?
Exactly.
Pretty much.
Yeah, man. And it comes with, like, scheduling your time better as well, right? Mm. So there is a point where I might have become lazy because I know, like, what I can do and how I can feel productive enough to, like, you know, go by day after day, right, kind of thing. And, I did that. I did, like, the bare minimum. And then I kind of used the whole, oh, this is my growth situation as a way of, like, feeling okay with not going out and stuff like that. You know? So it was kind of like an excuse thing. And I do feel like in every side of that conversation, there is an element where it's like, oh, I can use this as an excuse to do what I, you know, wanted to do anyways.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I think you're always going to go back to some of your bad habits, whatever those bad habits might be.
Definitely.
You know? And you'll be able to maintain the bad habits, but not the friendships.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes.
You know what I mean? Why do you say sometimes?
As in, you said not maintain, like, the friendships.
Yeah.
Just the bad habits.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, for me it was different because...
You're saying you have no bad habits?
Right now, no.
Nothing.
Yeah, no bad habits. No. At all.
So what I did is...
Yo, where's the hat, man?
Give me. Give me. No, I'm not.
No, but you serious? No, you come across like that, obviously.
Yeah, like, I don't know, for me...
But I don't buy it.
That's fine. That's a you problem. That's not me.
No bad habits at all.
I don't have bad habits. I wouldn't say I do.
So you don't, like... Like, do some things that are just, like, time pass?
No.
No.
Because I used to... And then I had, like, this sort of re-evaluation of life. You know, I used to sort of, let's say, like, shisha, for example, is a very social thing. Mm. And when I actually sat down and thought about it, I just thought, why am I spending my time fucking up my lungs, right? I'm paying to fuck up my lungs.
Mm. Yeah,
and then
yeah.
I'm smoking flavored air.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
I'm doing nothing really, you know,
bougie kind of shit. You might as well get a vape, innit?
Oh my god, that could never be me with a vape.
I could never imagine that.
No,
imagine, yo, I just got this watermelon vape. Like,
that's a doppelganger.
Yeah.
Me with a vape. That's not me.
Yeah, that's not me. Clones, man. That is a
clone. That's a fake Instagram account right there, man.
Yeah,
that's what that is.
Nah, so I just stopped, like, a lot of bad habits that I would say I used to do, or, like, wasting time, because it's, like, it's just not beneficial, and at the end of the day, like, it's a financial loss as well. Mm. I just see it as I'm wasting money, like, sitting, smoking flavoured air, when I could be using that to, like, do an activity or do something more sort of fun and something beneficial for me, like, mentally stimulating. I like things like gaming, as I mentioned in my other podcast,
well, like,
as well.
Well, like, video gaming, or just, like, brain teasers and that.
Anything. Like, I like any sort of, like, challenge, puzzle, gaming.
Yeah.
Just anything that I'm not really harming my body.
Okay, yeah.
So I would say in terms of bad habits, like no smoking, no drinking, like no clubbing, no weed, any of that.
I guess that's the perception of bad habits, right?
Yeah.
Maybe let me rephrase to say, like, what do you do in your downtime? And, like, you know, the extent of your downtime, right? Because you were kind of searching for this, like, thing that you never knew existed before, essentially, because you were working, like, all the time.
Yeah. What do I do in my downtime? I just spend time with my family, and that's it, in my downtime.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really... I'm not that type of person who I can just sit, like, in my room all day. Because I told you, I feel really guilty about just sitting down doing nothing. Mm. So, in my downtime, it's still something that, for me, I feel like I'm adding value to my family, or I'm giving back to them, sort of thing, because of how busy I am on my daily schedule, and they don't have the time, you know, to see me. Like, I'm out of the door early in the morning, I come home quite late, I'll have dinner, and that's it. So, in terms of quality time, like, my parents don't get that with me, you know?
Yeah.
So, in my downtime, I would just sort of give back. So, I wouldn't say, like,
And that's obviously not a waste of time, right?
Yeah, it's not a waste of time.
Maybe like the gaming a little bit, maybe when you used to go shisha a little bit, right? Yeah. But
right now I would say I've got...
You wouldn't class that as like a bad habit. You'd class it as like, okay, this is just something that I do to like give myself some breathing room.
Yeah, and I enjoy that. Like just spending time with my family and things. So I would say I've got no bad habits right now. It's not to say that I'll never have any.
No, you just came on the podcast in a very good time for yourself. You know what I mean? Because I don't think anyone watching is thinking, like, I have no bad habits. But they might be thinking that, okay, this is a period in my life that I'm about to start.
Because,
like, 2023 resolutions and all of that shit, right?
Yeah.
Like, they must be like, okay, look, I can, like, cut some of these bad habits or cruxes off to then... have a life where I'm literally just like giving back to who matters, as well as thinking of yourself as a business. And every time a business gets into a shitty partnership, they might fuck up their market value or their stock market value, you know what I mean? So that's kind of where we're trying to get to, where I'm trying to get to anyways this year, is like thinking of myself as more of a business. And then the hours that I'm contracting out, I have to make them worthwhile. I need to get something in return, kind of thing. But yeah, why do you think you're so guilty when you don't do anything?
I don't know.
Because we've spoken countless amounts of times about how guilt, you should use it as fuel, and like guilt is the most powerful thing, you know?
I don't know. For me, it's just, as I said...
What makes you feel bad about sitting down and just chilling?
It's that thing.
When so many people are like, yeah, I'm calm. Is it your algorithm? Is your algorithm feed you shit? Like, you're a dickhead. Why are you sitting down right now?
But I think it's literally my algorithm. Like, it's just how I am. You know, that's just how I function as a human being. Like, for me, I just feel a little bit guilty about just doing nothing. So, even if I've got nothing sort of scheduled into my diary, which my diary is always packed.
Every single
day it's packed. But that one day that I have family day and there's nothing sort of scheduled in, I don't know, I just feel guilty for even scheduling myself in, you know? And that's obviously something that I think I need to work on more. But I do give myself time. I'm not saying, like, I never have any time for myself, but I just don't like sitting around doing nothing. Yeah. And that's what makes me feel guilty. Not giving myself time, but just feeling unproductive.
Yeah.
That's what makes me feel guilty.
Is there a sense of urgency behind it because of the age that you're at?
I guess so, because you know how there's so many things around, like, you're exposed to so many, like, social medias and so many, like, TikTok videos and stuff like that, where everyone says, like, your 20s is when you're meant to be grinding.
Yeah, that's definitely your algorithm, man.
Stuff like that. So it's an algorithm at the end of the day. It's just things engraved into your head, you know? Like, you're meant to achieve this by this age, or you're meant to, like, do this in your 20s and stuff like that. So
cool.
I think so. 100%.
Because you're a little bit like that, right?
Yeah, where it's like, if I'm like, as you said about like sitting around and all that, it's like, but my problem is, I'll tell you my problem, right? I'll be like, okay, let's say
man, share it, open book.
man share the story. Sometimes, all right, and this is actually an L, right? Where sometimes, let's say I could be doing some... Oh, no. Nah, all right. I'll tell you an L, right? This is kind of an L. All right.
Tell us an L, man. Ready.
Basically, so my family...
Yeah.
My my family went to the seaside, right?
Oh shit! No, sorry, sorry. I thought you were ready.
That whole end the story in it. Nah, my family went to the seaside.
Yeah.
But I was like, you know what? I could go with them, but I'm like, I need to actually do something today because there's a lot of stuff I need to do, a lot of stuff I need to sort out. So I'm like, okay.
Like, give them a little bit of context.
Huh?
Nah,
just stuff with the beast store and all that, just sorting out all that. So I was like, yeah, I need to sort that out. So then I'm like, okay, let me not go today and let me sort that out. But like, what happened was, I was like, okay, let me do a quick workout. After the workout, I'll sort all the stuff out.
Yeah,
after the workout, I'm literally just sitting there, just on my PC, just procrastinating it.
Oh,
and it's like, I went through all that time. Just I literally told them, oh no. No, I'm going to make a plan. I'm going to make a plan to be productive, you know, sort everything out. Just for me to sit down and just do nothing in it. So it's like...
And it's like a time where you could have given back and you heard Ami's that heartfelt story. She's trying to give her time back and you're like, oh, I feel so bad about this stupid story. I could have gone to the seaside, bruv.
You should have
made memories there, bro. Memories don't die, bro. Memories don't die.
Everyone's probably looking at me like some heartless bastard or something.
But
I get you when you say about, you know, you feel guilty when you're, you know, you have to be doing something productive and all that. No, that's definitely real. That's definitely true.
So when you see people who don't have a diary and who don't block out their time to the point where they're like, you know, you're really making sure every hour is giving you some sort of fulfillment.
Yeah.
Whether it be like, okay, I might be suffering, but I'm like doing this course or, you know, I'm putting in work in my henna business, or I'm you know, I have to do something for work and it's a report. It might be after hours, but still I'm doing it, you know what I mean? What do you say to people who don't do that?
For me, I just feel as if like that's their journey sort of thing, and if
now don't sugarcoat it, like, no, they need to hear this you know what I mean?
Like,
I know you have a strong opinion about this. Let it out.
Guys, honestly, it's not even like that. So,
but don't isn't like, any per- sorry to cut you off yeah? Isn't any person who thinks how you think a little bit like, these people are dickheads, they're wasting their potential, they could have been so much more and they're choosing not to be out of comfort and out of this shitty algorithm that they put up for themselves because they've been following the wrong people over the years and now it's stuck, they can't be asked to unfollow people, blah blah blah, and so they're getting fed all of these affirmations of their poor performance behavior.
I would say to an extent I would, you know, see it as this. I feel bad for some people because it's like I see them and I see, like, you know, the potential that they could have had, but some people, you know, just going down like the wrong path in life and stuff. But then again, it's like, how I see it is I have no sort of place to judge them because I've not walked in their shoes, and I strongly believe that everybody is a product of their environment. So if I don't know what they've gone through or psychologically how they cope with shit, like a lot of people, you know, they cope with stuff by, I don't know, let's say football, or like for them, that's them adding value to their lives, right?
Because
football means something to them.
Yeah.
It might not mean anything to me. I'll just be like, whoa, like you're kicking a football around for 60 minutes when you could have done a course. That's me.
Yeah, but that's
me, no? Like, I have no sort of place to, like, judge anyone else, I would say. But I strongly do believe that people are just, like, the products of their environment. And sometimes I do feel sad, and sometimes I do feel like, oh, no, like, if, you know, if you had that guidance, or if you had the right exposure, or if you followed the right people, or even if you had that drive or that passion within yourself to better yourself, it would be a different story. But then again, that's their story. And
but that's the thing. I think that everyone has the passion to do something amazing 100%. And give back to the world.
Yeah.
But at some point, they become complacent. Yeah. So now I'm going to flip the question. And I'm going to ask you, if you were in an alternate universe where you weren't you, but you were looking at the person who is Ami Laka, right?
Right, so wait, I'm not.
So you're not you. You're like from an outside perspective,
okay,
right?
Cool.
And you're looking at the version of Ami Laka who was complacent as fuck, who decided to stay at Metro Bank, and who was just procrastinating and chilling with people who didn't really give them value back. What would you say to that person? Because now you can be harsh as fuck, right?
Yeah, because it's myself.
Mm-hmm.
Looking from like an outside perspective into...
What would you say to her, man?
The old Urmi.
Yeah.
I'll just tell myself to respect myself a bit more.
Mm.
Because it's like, when you allow people to treat you in a certain way, when you allow people to, you know, give you shit, and when you allow people to even like physically assault you and you're still there at Metro, I would say you need to respect yourself. You need to put yourself first, and you need to do what's better for you. So that's what me, like, on an outside perspective, looking back to the older version of myself, those are sort of the criticisms that I'd have for myself. Of course, that's the old version.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not me anymore.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would just say, like, I need to put myself first. And I feel as if a lot of people struggle with putting themselves first, and a lot of people want to just be people pleasers nowadays. It's like, oh, what can I do to, you know, make people like me? Or what can I do, you know? I feel as if a lot of people put themselves as an oh, I'm fumbling my word. Yeah, so they sacrifice themselves, basically, for other people.
Mm.
And for me, when I see that, I think that's just very sad. Because if you had that sort of willpower, if you had that strength within you,
yeah,
you wouldn't let other people sort of, you know, like, trample over you. And it just comes about respecting yourself enough to remove yourself out of those situations and those circumstances. But then again, it's like, not every circumstance you can remove yourself from. So there's always like another perspective.
So that's why you add that caveat where it's like, oh yeah, I might have not lived a life in their shoes, and maybe the thing that is their crux is too emotional for them to separate themselves from.
Maybe. And because I studied psychology as well, like when I was younger, I think I'm more exposed to all the sort of different personality types and all the different sort of, you know, I have a deeper understanding of how much a traumatic experience could really affect somebody, or how it could lead to like attachment issues or trust issues, or not being able to, you know, like, put someone else, like, or put yourself first. And in many ways I feel as if I do that to myself, like I portray those to myself, because it's like, I shouldn't have to feel guilty about, you know, not being productive. But that's just the sort of things that I would portray onto myself. But that's with me, like, that's
how, because that's your healthiest version, right?
That's the healthiest.
Like, you spoke last time about how you journal to yourself so that you don't have to give that baggage to other people.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're like, okay, I'd rather push myself, because if I do that, then everything beneficial for my life has come out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because of, like, your other endeavors and stuff like that. Yeah.
100%.
I don't know, man. It's like, it's hard to see people become complacent, right? Like, I've seen people who have a breakup and they've fallen off because of that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they've, like, fucked up their life and essentially sacrificed themselves, because now their end goal isn't all about how do I become rich so that everyone around me I'm providing for, blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
Now it's like, how do I fill the void that I had before and now I don't?
Mm.
You know? And that becomes their new goal. And if you only are thinking in that singular mindset, then you're bound to be complacent, right?
Yeah.
You're bound to come up with excuses when it's like, you could be going to like a business meeting, or you could be going to an interview, and instead you go on a date because you're like, you know what I mean? And in the regard where like you don't have a job.
That's something you would do.
No, but in the regard that you don't have a job. In the regard that you don't have a job, man, it's like, you know, you're sacrificing yourself, really.
Yeah.
You know what definitely. I mean? For the record, they're just chatting absolute shit. Like, I don't do that, bro. You get me? It wouldn't be called the date. It would be called something else. From the old version of me, from an outside perspective, I would look at that person, that version of Mizana, and I'd be like, yo, listen, don't do that, bro. You don't need to go on this adventure. There's other adventures out there for you, you know? But yeah, man, I really do feel bad for those people, though.
Yeah.
Especially because, like, at one point, I feel like, I don't know if you could admit that you were one of those people at one point, but I feel like I definitely was. I don't know about you, but you used to procrastinate a lot before your beach page started kicking off and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely, too much.
Yeah, so I guess that, like, speaks to you more, right? Because you kind of have like a bulletproof mindset, basically.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think of when I've like...
Because of like your past traumas.
Yeah.
And they just reflected in a better light to most people.
So I feel as if I used my past traumas to like the best advantage.
Yeah.
I didn't let it sort of bring me down and make me feel as if... You know, people get into this mentality of, why is it happening to me? Like, all this, like, victim.
Yeah, like, most yeah. most people on YouTube and shit right now. Yeah.
pretty much.
Yeah. That's why, like, people like Andrew Tate and shit are, like, popping off right now. Because he portrays the other message.
Yeah.
Which does piss people off more than the outlandish shit that he actually says. You know?
100%. What's he doing now? Is he, like, he's kidnapped?
I think he's gone, man.
He's kidnapped.
Someone kidnapped that dude. Put him in a box or some shit and shipped into China.
Yeah, I think he's still in jail.
He's still in jail, man.
No, he got fatally, like, attacked in jail.
Yeah, he got attacked by the Matrix, apparently. That's what people were saying. What do you think about this guy, man?
I don't know, you know. Like, I'm not...
Because
really, like...
technically speaking, you portray a very similar message to him in this podcast right now. So how do you think about him as a person?
I don't know. I feel as if I can't give like a judgment of how Andrew is, because people portray a very different version of who they are online when they know people are watching, when there's cameras and stuff.
Yeah.
So I can't say anything about him as a person until I've actually met him and I've actually spoken to him. Because on camera, everyone pretends to be somebody that they're not, and like they're not 100% transparent, or the things they might say is just for them to sort of, you know, like, tick a certain box or tick a certain headline or add, you know, controversy so that they grow and their name is, like, you know, in newspapers and whatever. So,
or provoke a certain demographic.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
And then that's how he, I would say, like, just became sort of famous and very sort of spoken about, because he's very controversial in his topics and he knows where to poke.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't give an opinion on Andrew because I haven't met him. Essentially,
You can still give an opinion.
No,
I feel like everyone is open to like prejudging before you meet them. I feel like you're not immune to that.
I'm not immune, but I try not.
So,
you know,
let's say you did try and do so, what would you give as an opinion?
I don't know. Like,
very good at ignoring questions, by the way.
I'm not,
I do have to say,
I'm not ignoring.
Very good at them.
I don't know. I would just say like some things. That he says, like,
yeah,
I don't 100% agree with, but I see where he's coming from.
Yeah.
From his, like, from the mentality that he's talking. So that would only be, you know, my only real perception of Andrew.
Yeah, no, yours is just running smoothly.
Is he even in the video? Because you always block him.
He's in the video, he's in the video. This is why we do it here, because he's in the video now, okay? He's expressed this so much.
Now I'm in the video when you're not there.
No, and on top of that, the episodes that were with bad footage had him in it, in perfect view, but it was just shit footage.
Oh, no.
So we couldn't put something.
Yeah, I got
done
day. Like,
you got done day. But you know what? He wasn't speaking in season one.
No,
let's be real.
Right.
Everyone knows.
You weren't really talking.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie. I wasn't really talking.
He's opened up now.
But I'm not gonna lie. Right? Another thing though, the episodes where I was saying stuff was shit quality.
Yeah.
So, and I wasn't actually in the shot. And then the episodes where I wasn't saying anything.
Yeah.
You know, the
like
camera was on.
Yeah, you didn't say shit, man.
I'm not gonna lie. But early episodes, man.
Yeah.
I'm like, listen.
I think you really come out of your shell, though.
Yeah, a lot more than before.
But he's always been out of his fucking shell, man. When the camera comes on,
camera
he portrays
on,
a different character.
Yeah, because
just like Andrew Tate. He's just like Andrew Tate. He's the top G,
as soon
man.
As the camera,
literally.
As soon as the camera's on, I'm overthinking everything. I'm like, oh, you know.
Like, oh,
you're bound to.
You're
bound to.
And then I'm just literally,
just be you, like, 100% transparent and just say whatever. And if you get backlash for it, fuck it, you get backlash for it. It is what it is.
Yeah, it's just a mindset thing, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, you come like your media trained, though. I can't lie.
Really?
Yeah. She does, isn't it? Diplomatic answers, you know?
Guys,
I'm portraying myself in a good light today.
It's like a politician.
Give me some respect.
Some respect.
I'm a recruitment consultant. I worked hard to give this persona, okay? I'm not putting on a show. Stop not, telling me I'm capping.
You know what? It's not actually a shame. If you look at my calendar.
No, you know, you know.
It's always me.
Don't even give them proof. Come on, they know.
Let
they
me
know.
Not prove myself to you. Cause
yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't do that. Who are you proving yourself to anyway?
Exactly. No, I'm that type of person who is like, I'm not chatting shit, guys. Like, I'm actually a robot.
That's what someone who's chatting shit would say, though.
No, I'm actually
a robot. No, but for real, like.
No, for real.
No, you should have stopped. Like, you should have stopped, like, a minute ago. You would have been fine. But you carried on. That's the thing. That's the problem.
No.
Oh, man. It's because she's getting suffocated with a scarf, man. That's what it was. Nah, man. But honestly, like, I agree with, like, most of what you said, to be honest, today. Like, the whole thing. You know, it's a mindset shift for me. See, I can't speak sometimes.
Bro, I can never speak.
Don't make you nervous.
Nah. Do you make me nervous? Yes, I'm so nervous right now. I'm shivering in my fucking boots.
Shivering in my boots.
Yeah. No, I'm an introvert, innit, normally. I put on the show for the camera.
About introvert, why are
you
lying?
I put on the show for the camera. Subscribe. I just feel like you should shout.
Listen, like,
yeah, what?
Man's trying to do that fake humble shit, innit? Like, oh,
I'm an introvert. Yeah. You know when I sway my shoulders a little bit, I'm capping. I am capping, I can't lie. But yeah, I think what you said about Andrew Tate is probably, like, true as well, to be honest, right? Like, people just give him more power because they might be a certain type of way, and he might be the person who's, like, finally speaking for you, and you're like, ah, this is exactly what I believe, this is how it should be, you know? But yeah, who do you follow to give you this positive mindset?
Okay, that's a very sort of...
We're going to cut like half of that out, by the way.
So okay.
As in like the parts that don't make sense because it was a bit choppy, innit?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, who do I follow?
Don't mind, don't I'm helping you out editing.
That's very hard to answer because it's like, I don't really follow many people.
Yeah.
That's probably why you have a good algorithm, though.
Maybe. I don't really like follow a lot of people. I don't really like keep tabs on like what people are doing sort of thing. For me, it's like, I'll just follow things like on LinkedIn or like things which, again, things that just benefit me and things that it like within my industry. I like to know everything, you know.
Yeah.
Like, whenever I'm talking to someone, I would hate to feel like I don't know what the hell I'm rambling on about. Like, I hate to be that person who doesn't know their shit.
Yeah.
You know? So in terms of like following people, I don't really follow many people, and I think for me that's been a good thing because I'm not exposed to like all of these fake personas, and I'm not really exposed to people pretending to be someone that they're not.
Yeah.
I would say like the only people that I really follow is, I'll say Vex King is someone I follow.
Yeah.
And his wife Colshaw, and then that influential guy J Shetty. So people that really speak about mindset, that speak about, you know, management, like
makes
relationships,
sense,
everything. So the people I follow, I feel as if have an impact on the person that I am today.
Yeah. No, I love Vex King and Jay Shetty as well. I don't really follow Jay Shetty as much, but
yeah.
We've had someone on who has been on his course.
Yeah.
And now he's like a life coach and stuff like that. I took a lot from him. I think you did as well. And he kind of perpetrates a similar mindset to you. It might be good for you to go on his podcast.
I would love to.
That would be sick. His name is Priyash.
Yeah.
Priyash Patel, yeah.
Okay.
So I think you guys would relate a lot.
Send me his details after.
Yeah, no, definitely, yeah. Definitely. No, whatever you want to do, man. Whoever you want to collaborate, we have loads of options. But yeah, any final thoughts or anything you want to say to the people?
No, I'm just saying, you know, guys, just be yourself. Like, don't feel guilty if you're putting yourself first and working towards your goals, because at the end of the day, that's something that you want to do. And just make sure whatever you're doing, that's essentially what you want to do, and you're not just doing it for other people. Because as soon as you do things for other people, it can cause a lot of resentment if shit doesn't go right. So always just put yourself first, as hard as it is, and as many, you know, responsibilities and circumstances that you may have, make sure you put yourself first and do what's best for you. That's what I would say.
I so want to dig into that, but it's calm, man.
Listen,
it's calm, it's calm. It's calm. You know what? You know, she dodged questions well. I'm going to leave it there, yeah? I'm going to leave it there. We'll circle back to this at some point. CJ, you want to say anything, man?
Don't want to say anything.
Yeah.
Nah, it's been a good episode, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's been chill, man. It's been very cushy. Maybe a little bit too cushy. Can't lie.
Oh?
Dysfunction.
malfunctions.
That's what some people go through, man. See, people go through a lot of things. And what we're going to do is we're going to unearth them. Let me come off with my point, because it was a good one. You fucked up. I can't repeat it now. I will look like a dickhead. So, subscribe, everybody.
Don't lie, and see you guys soon.
I didn't lose my point.
Okay, say it. Say your piece.
Watch my retention, yeah, from last time. Because you know what? Last time it wasn't that good, innit? Yeah, so, you know, everyone goes through shit. This is dysfunction at its finest, guys. But everyone goes through different shit, right? And what we're going to do is we're going to talk to different people from different niches so that if you come to this podcast and you're an active listener, you won't feel like you're out of place when you do speak about certain topics, because you'll follow the Zulu principle. And that's what I am trying to attain from this podcast, personally. So, yeah. Enjoy, guys.
Thank you so much.
Enjoy the rest of the episodes. Go check out season 2. Subscribe. Bears. Tell your friends. Tell your auntie. Your auntie's dog. He probably has an iPad, right? If you have a dog, you probably like put clothes on him and shit. So you know what? That's it. We're done.
Peace.